Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you've been here the last couple weeks, we've been looking at prayers in the Bible from the epistles written to the early church. And we had a prayer card last week for the first 2 weeks. It was Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. And I'm not sure everybody got them last week. The ushers have them. We would love for you to have this at your desk. Put it on your fridge, and it's just a great way to pray over your life, to pray over your family. If you don't have one of those prayer cards from last week, Ephesians 1 and 3, just raise up your hand. Just raise up your hand, and the ushers would love to serve you. All right? Just keep them up. All right? And just keep them up. We're going to carry on preaching while you're getting those. And then we'll have we're going to do one this week, look at a prayer, and then next week, then we'll have some more cards for you that will just help you to pray the Word of God over your life. And so one of the things that we mentioned was that when we look at a prayer that comes from the Word of God, we know that it is 100% pure God's will for us. All right. And these prayers are in the New Covenant. All right. We have to be careful that we're praying from the New Covenant. You know, there's a prayer under the Old Covenant where God was still openly and actively, you know, judging the enemy of Israel for their sins. And David prayed this prayer. He said, "Oh God, you know, let them be like a slug in the noonday sun. God, break their bones." That's not a New Testament prayer, but I've certainly had that prayer come to mind. How many of you? All right, but don't pray it. Okay. But here we have prayers for the church at Ephesus, for the church at Colossae, and so these are applicable to the church in Lusaka 2016. They are the Word of God. And so the other thing we see from these prayers is we know that the contents of these prayers are possible. We know that all of what is being asked for is available for us and for us to walk in. Okay? It means that's God's highest. That's the target. But we can have that in Jesus' name. All right. But we also understand that we must ask for it. We must be seeking these things. But that God has the ability to give these things and to put them into our life. Okay. So there's one in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. All right. And this is a prayer that I have found myself praying for myself and for Miracle Life for a number of years. And it is just incredible. All the Word of God is incredible. This one really speaks to me in a very profound way. But let's read this here in Colossians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 9. This is the New King James Version. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask." So we're asking something for believers. "Ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy." Notice they go together. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we see some things that are in this prayer that kind of that halfway through verse 9 is what we're asking for. That we would understand, be aware of God's will. He has one, and we can know it. All right. We see the benefits of knowing and walking in his will, that we're fruitful unto every good work. All right. We see again that we saw this last week in Ephesians chapter 3, but again in this prayer, that we would be strengthened on the inside. But this one goes on to say that we would be strengthened with God's power for patience and long suffering. All right. So there's an element of endurance and a life of thanksgiving. Now, notice at the end of this prayer, it mentions that, again, that what God has done, and that it says that he has delivered us. He has delivered us. So that means it already happened. All right. And so we live in an awareness of this deliverance. And it's a deliverance from the power or the control of the enemy. All right. And what we see in the New Testament, we do not see any pattern in the New Testament of post-deliverance deliverance. Pastor Walker, do you believe in deliverance? Oh, I sure do. When I was 16 years old, I got delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, but what about all the thousands of demons? You know, I think your great-great-great-grandfather's mother was a Mason. So there's still demons on. No. I got delivered from that power, from all the power. The devil has no part. He has no place. Aren't you glad he doesn't? Amen. Now, in the same way, be done with all that stuff. Don't dabble in the works of darkness. Amen. One of the things, the great things that believers did in the early church is if people used to practice the occult, they came and they burned it. They got rid of it. No more association with that type of stuff. All right. So we are delivered and we are walking in that deliverance. But let's look at this prayer. In verse 9, it says that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. And I kind of think of a container. All right. If, you know, at your home, if you're doing something in the kitchen or whatever, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but you go and you get a container and you think, okay, the spaghetti sauce or whatever it is you're doing, and I'm going to put it in because I need to put it in the fridge. And the container was too small. Have you ever done that? All right. So you fill it up and then you realize, ooh, I need to get another container. But the container that is full, it is wall to wall spaghetti sauce. It is wall to wall whatever it is that you just put in there. There's no room for anything else if it's filled. All right. If you have a glass that's full of water, it's water only. And when I think of being filled with the knowledge of his will, that means that the other knowledge of Walker's will and Walker's friend's will and Walker's mama's will and all the other wills, all that has been driven out. And the only thing that remains is what? His will. Oh, and he's so good. And so there's not room for anything else. A knowledge that God has given us. So when we think of God's will, and I know sometimes, you know, I'll pray with people and I certainly pray about my life is, God, I want to know your will. God, is this the right path to take? Is this the right person to know? Is this the right job to take? God is, and so what are we asking? God, I want what you know. But sometimes people have the idea that God's will is, it's somewhere out there. And if I can get to a big meeting in Zimbabwe or South Africa and I just touch the hem of the prophet's garment, then maybe he'll tell me, you know, where I live and my phone number and everything. But I already know that. But thank you. I already know that. What I really want to know is, should I go right or should I go left? Well, here's the thing. God says, you can pray for this. You can receive this. And you can walk every day of your life filled with the knowledge of his will. What do I do with my money? God, how do I turn around this business? God, what do I do with my kids? I can pray, God, I thank you that I am filled with the knowledge of your will. God, should I marry which one of these awesome, godly, tithing, successful men should I marry, God? Which one? They're beating my door down, God. I'm filled. Oh, that was an amen over there. Yeah. Sounded like a by faith amen. All right. No. See, here's the thing. It can happen. It is God's plan for us to just live in the knowledge of his will. Now, if we're going to pray this, one of the things that we have to think about is, and we talked a little bit about this last year, is that, you know, there's what's good in the eyes of man, me, the eyes of others, and there's what's good in the eyes of the Lord. And you have to be settled that what's good in the eyes of the Lord, His will is better than your will. It's so much better. It's so much higher. And if you've lived very long, you've probably discovered it by now. That when you kind of took the reins of life and I said, I'm going to do it my way, Frank Sinatra's motto, it is not the best way. All right, it is a painful way. All right, so His ways are higher than our ways. Yes, they are. But this text tells us, and this prayer tells us, that I can be aware of His higher ways for my life. I can be filled with that knowledge. And so it happens through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that He'll come and He'll come into your life and He will show you things to come. He will reveal what I know and He'll reveal those things to you. The Holy Spirit is a revealer. Aren't you glad He is? And the day that you and I live in, we live on the good side of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given. And He's given to all flesh. And so that means He is available to speak and to fill you with the knowledge of God's will. So in your life, and if you kind of think about it this way, where God's will has seemed cloudy, it can be clear. His plan and what He wants in this prayer says that you can be aware and be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, verse 9 says, so where does this come from? What are some of the ways in which He fills us? Okay, we have some water tanks out here, and we have a borehole here at the church, but we also are tapped into Lusaka water. All right, and so that tank can be filled from different sources. And if we opened up the top, it could be filled with rain. So how does God fill you with the knowledge of His will? All right. This says with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everybody say and. Say this to your neighbor. We need both. Okay, so it's not an either or. You don't have to pick one. It means you get to have both. All right. So the Message Bible puts it this way, that our minds and our spirits are attuned to His will. Both places, our mind, that we think, we reason, we store stuff in there. So with our mind, we're attuned to His will. And in our spirits, the part of us that is alive to God, the part of us that lives forever, the part of us that was born again. All right. So there's our spirit and our mind are both aligned and attuned to God's will. So wisdom, in some ways, I like what somebody defined it as, it's really godly common sense. How many of you know common sense isn't that common in 2016? All right. But it's not just kind of cute little sayings and proverbs that our grandfather told us. It comes from the pages of Scripture. It's biblical principles that we can live our life upon, and we reason, and so we think about things. And so as we are making decisions, we take them through the filter of a renewed mind. We're filled with the knowledge of His will. So let's say the area of money. All right, well, what does God think? What does He say? What's His perspective? And boy, there's a lot. And there's a lot of different perspectives that God thinks about money. So when I come to make a financial decision, I'm going to be filled with the knowledge that comes through wisdom. All right. So we're aligned in that way. So God wants us to be biblically smart, biblically aware. All right. Now, I've been involved in charismatic life, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank God for miracles and prophecies and all the wonderful world that we see in the book of Acts that is still alive for us today. But I have also seen that many charismatics and Pentecostals are very averse to wisdom. They want what is the Lord saying? Well, I felt it. I felt it. I'm in business with a lying, cheating, stealing unbeliever. But Lord, what are you saying? Lord, I need a goosebump to, I need fire from him. No. You simply are not filled with wisdom. You have a lack of wisdom. Because if you had wisdom, here's the cool thing about in life. There's so many things in life you don't have to pray about. Wisdom tells you what to do. Pastor, come. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I'm dating this guy and he's drunk all the time and he cheats and he lies and he's got his hands on me. And God, I just want the Lord to show me. Here, he just showed you. Right there, show it. The Lord just showed you. Huh? Oh, God, show me. Nope. Here's what we can pray. God, fill me. Fill my mind with wisdom. God, let me be smart as you define smartness. All right. So wisdom begins with what? The fear of the Lord. All right. Wisdom doesn't necessarily begin at UNSA or Harvard. Okay. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And it's God, everything that you have to say, that's the smart way. And I want to know it. I want my mind to be filled with it. And that's what drives my life. And at the same time, we're going to know his will through spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Because there are times in life where your decision passes the wisdom test. Okay? It's biblical. But the Spirit of the Lord will show you yes or no. All right. Let me give you an example. So Paul was called by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Jesus said, so the word of God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he was doing that. And so Paul was going to the Gentiles. He was living in the light of the knowledge that he had. But there was a time where he and his team were trying to go into Asia Minor. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid them. The Holy Spirit forbid them from preaching the gospel to Gentiles? Yep. Why? Because he had another route for them to go. Now, did they get that direction from the Bible? No. They were actually obeying the Bible. But there was spiritual understanding that came by the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit speaking in his church. All right. Specific guidance within wisdom. All right. Doesn't ever bypass wisdom. So we can say, God, fill me with both. God, I want my mind to be smart based on your word. And God, show me, lead me. May I have spiritual understanding. I can't tell you how many times in my wife and I's life where we're doing our best to think and to process, but there's just an urge. There's a nudge from the Holy Spirit. Do that. Or don't do that. Well, it's not a sin. It's not wrong, but it's not God's will for us. Where does that come from? It comes from spiritual understanding. Amen. And so it means following the leading of the Lord and not overriding the leading of the Lord. If it doesn't feel right on the inside, keep praying. God, fill me. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. Amen. Let me read that to you from the Message Bible. I like the way it comes out. It says, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. A thorough understanding in the ways in which God works. It's very sad right now that throughout the Central and Southern Africa, there are Christians that believe that, if they didn't get the job or this didn't happen or there's an attack against their marriage or this or that, there's a spiritual husband that comes and visits me at night. If you believe that, you do not have a thorough understanding of the ways of God, because there aren't any spiritual husbands. Technically, I'm a spiritual husband to my wife. All right. I'm a husband and I'm spiritual. All right, but there are no. Yeah, right. Hashtag go get a spiritual husband. All right. Hashtag be a spiritual husband. All right. But the fact is we can be unaware of the ways that God works. And so we're busy, and the Bible talks at shadow boxing. That means there's lots of activity. No punches being hit. Lots of sweat, activity. Woo, boy, they're really fired up. And they're accomplishing zero. Right. So this prayer says, Lord, I want to have a thorough understanding of the ways in which you work. And man, my wife and I were just talking about this morning as we're getting ready for church. And you know, when I go back 6 years ago in my life, and I thank God for what I knew 6 years ago, but oh my goodness, I feel like I was a dummy back then. I mean, oh, some of the things that I was unaware of, the ways that God works. And I'm so grateful today that I'm more aware. But I also have to be aware of, I probably don't have it all figured out. So I need to keep praying this prayer. God, help me understand your ways. Verse 10. So here's the benefit. Here's what's going to happen. Okay. A life that pleases the Lord. NIV says that we would please him in every way. Everybody say every. Every way. I don't know about you, but in your Christian life, in your walk with God, and just kind of walking down the road of life, have you found it a challenge to kind of have every area pleasing the Lord? And you feel like that, you know, there's certain areas of your life, and it's like, you know, God, I thank you that you're working in that. And then there's this dark closet of cobwebs and, you know, old bugs and stuff. You know, it's like, oh, God, I don't even want to think about that. God, I need your help. But see, it's possible that every area of our life fully pleases him. The way in which we walk. Now, we have been made righteous in Christ. All right. And Colossians tells us that very plainly. So when we're born again, we're fully accepted by God. He accepts us as his children, as his son, as his daughter. We're made the righteousness of God. But this is speaking about that life of how it shows up on the outside. All right. How many of you know a righteous person can live a dumb life? All right. And that's not what God wants for you. Now, are you still a child of God? Yes. All right. Are you blessing the world? No. Are you honoring and reflecting Jesus? No. So this prayer says, God, I want my life, what gets shown on the outside, I want that to please you, all right? And I want it to show forth who you are. Not just pockets, good days and bad days, but God, that my life, all right? And so I think it's good to say, let's not be content when God's not content, all right? And I have this, I think we all do, kind of this idea that, well, kind of like what we say at a funeral. Well, they were good. Let's not really talk about the bad. Let's talk about the good. Well, thank God for the good. Let's also deal with the bad. Right? Let's deal with the stuff that's hindering our life. Let's deal with the stuff that is not reflecting his glory and his goodness. Amen? All right. It also goes on to say, so our life fully pleases him and we are fruitful in every good work. Notice that God uses work and good in the same breath. I know this is going to be more for second services when we have students in our midst. All right. Work is good. Work doesn't get you to heaven, but work builds a nation. Work builds a family. Work puts food on your table. Amen. God, before sin came into the human race, God gave Adam and Eve work to do that was a part of his plan, a part of his deal. And so there is good work. Ephesians 2:10 says that we're created unto good works, and we better be doing them. So this prayer is saying, God, I want my life to be fruitful. I want it to please you. Lord, may there be fruit, every type of good work, Father, that's coming from my life. All right. How many of you know it's good to have fruit from a fruit tree? All right. And a fruit tree, Jesus kind of said, a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit is useless. Right? It's not being how it was designed to be. Jesus said it this way. This is how my Father is glorified, John 15:8. That you bear much fruit. Much fruit. We've got another fruit tree at home, and the fruits aren't ready to be picked, but there's so much on it. It's some of it, the branches are touching the ground. It is much fruit. And you know what? God says that's awesome. All right. So your life, God has a plan for your life, and we can pray, God, let that be that our life is heavy with beautiful fruit. And here's the thing. How many of you know trees don't eat their own fruit? Fruit is to bless other people. All right. So we receive our nourishment from God. We're like in Psalm chapter 1, we're like that tree planted by the streams of living water, but we bear fruit. We are a blessing to this world. And I don't know about you, but every time I look at the newspaper or hear about the news, we need more fruitful Christians. Christians that are making a difference in every realm of society, being fruitful. All right. So this is God's plan, and we can pray this over our life. Let's look at verse 11. All right. So we're filled with the knowledge of his will. It's coming through these streams of wisdom. It's coming through spiritual understanding. What happens? Oh, our life pleases the Lord. It's fruitful unto him. It honors him. All right. And there's also a prayer here that we would be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. So again, like last week in Ephesians 3, the strength that you need does not come from you. Well, just be strong. I don't have it. I don't have the strength that I need. So what do? God, I need strength from you. I need to tap. I need to have what you have. I need that in my life. And this tells us what it is there for. It is there for all patience and long suffering. How many of you know that if we launched a patience and long suffering conference at Mulungushi, there would be empty seats? Come for the patience and long suffering conference. Now, I have been to some conferences that you have to have patience and long suffering to be in the conference. How many of you have been to a few meetings like that? All right. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about what God's called you to. There's stuff that is simply going to take some time. The assignment is big. The implications, it's significant. And so when your patience runs out, you're finished. I was talking to somebody on Thursday, and this person had just run the New York City Marathon, and they did not finish with the Kenyans, all right? But they did well, all right, for themselves. And they had never run a marathon, and they were, you know. But they were telling me the journey, and they trained for it and everything. And they said they trained for it, but then they got to the last few kilometers. And they said, you know, when there were about 4 kilometers left, their tank was empty. And it was just, I just can't go on. But they did. Okay, what did they have? They had endurance. They had patience. Okay, so they kept going. And then they said, and then the last 2 kilometers, my legs were like jelly. I just wanted to fall over. And it was literally just painful to take the next running step. What is that? That's long suffering. Okay, so patience and long suffering, but here's the strength that comes from the Lord, is that, and I'm so glad he put this here, that he would strengthen us for patience and long suffering with joy. All right, and you know, when you watch these races being run, they're you know, the person that runs or the person that still has kind of fuel in their tank, you know, they cross the line, and you know, they're smiling, right? And they're waving to their the family and everything. And then if you keep watching, there are people that when they cross, they do not smile at all. I mean, they cross the line and they are out cold and they're painful and they're writhing. And, oh, Jesus, help me. That's not God's plan for your life. It's not for you to finish and everything about you is crying out in pain. No, you can finish. You can have strength from God to endure the assignment, to endure what he's called you to do with a smile on your face. Hey, how's it going? And you know, man, there's a strength from God. And, oh, boy, this is a long road, but I'm still smiling going down Faith Road. All right. With joy. Amen. It's not a person that you travel with, joy. All right. But it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. Joy and strength always go together in Scripture. All right. So we can make it to the end. And then the very last verse says, giving thanks to the Father who has. And it's calling us to a life of thankfulness of all the things that God has done for us in Christ, that we are thankful, that we are aware, that we live in the light. You know, sometimes you don't give thanks for something, not necessarily because you're rude, because you didn't know that it happened or you didn't know who gave it. All right. But thankfulness to the Lord means I'm aware of what you did for me. Oh, you delivered me. Oh, you set me on high. And all these different things that it lists here, that I live a life of thanksgiving. Amen. All right. So let's stand to our feet. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this prayer for ourselves and for our own life. And really, I want you to focus there. Make sure you're doing that. But also pray these prayers over your kids. Pray these prayers over family members. Pray, please, please pray these prayers over your pastors. Amen. Because they're so helpful and they're so useful. All right. So make this a regular part of your life. All right. Many of the prayer services that we have at Miracle Life, we have people praying in groups virtually every day of the week. And many, many times we use these as a launching point. All right. For what we pray about. All right. So we've got our Bible, right? It's good to bring your Bible to church. All right. So in Colossians chapter 9, let's put our hand on our heart. We're praying this for ourselves. There's this stuff that's going to happen on the inside. All right. So let's just pray this together. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your written word. Thank you that it's available to me. And according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, I pray, Father, that you would fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, I realize that I have a will, and I place my will under your will. May my will be conformed to yours. May I be wall to wall, from top to bottom, filled with your will. Father, I receive that will through wisdom that comes through your word, that comes through conversation, and my mind is renewed. Father, I believe that's happening. Father, I thank you also for spiritual understanding. Holy Spirit, show me things supernaturally, beyond my mind, in line with God's word. Help me make decisions in line with your will. I am filled with the knowledge of your will. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Father, that my life, my walk is worthy of Jesus. It fully pleases him. I am fruitful unto every good work. Lord, help me to be involved in the work you've called me to do. The good work that you've designed and wired me, you've anointed me to do. Father, help me to be right in the middle of the good work that you've called me to do. Make me a blessing. May people receive from my life. May the fruit of my life bless thousands of people. That's your plan. That's your will for my life. I believe it's happening. I'm increasing in the knowledge of you. I'm strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. God, I receive power that helps me to endure, that helps me to be long-suffering. I will not give up. I will not quit doing your will. I'll make it to the end, and I'll make it with joy. Oh, thank you, Father, because the strength comes from you. Thank you, Father. Every day I have strength to obey you. Oh, thank you, Father. More of what you have for me. And Father, I am thankful. Thankful to you who brought me into your family, who qualified me for every promise. You delivered me from the authority of Satan. You raised me to sit with Christ. And I thank you now, Father. I thank you now, Father. Just go ahead and just lift up your hand. Just thank him right now. Oh, for all the things that are yours in Christ that you're aware of. And just thank him right now. The Bible says it is a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. That men everywhere would lift up holy hands. And so, Father, we do today. And we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you as we celebrated communion. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for making a difference in our life. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Satan has no claim. He has no claim on our life. He has no claim on our family. We thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. We bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Saints, just go ahead and continue to pray. Continue to thank him. Maybe the Holy Spirit may have you just go back to one or two phrases from that prayer just to kind of hone in on. But let's just continue to thank him right now. While saints are praying with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, in that text that we read today, it says that for the people who are in the family of God, he has delivered us from another kingdom. Another kingdom. And see, friends, all of us, when we were born into this world, we were born under sin. We were born into sin. And then we all sinned. And so we were under that authority. And the Bible refers to it. It's a curse. There's nothing that goes right under that authority. Because we're in a family that's holding us captive. The family of sin, the family of darkness. That's not where God designed you to live. He's a good father. He's a father who provides. He's a father that helps you grow up. The Bible says in that kingdom is all about stealing, killing, destroying you and your life. And see, being religious doesn't take you out of that kingdom. Living a good life doesn't take you out of that kingdom. You see, you have to be delivered. Someone has to snatch you out. That's Jesus Christ. And you see, when he went to the cross, spiritually, he did that for the entire world. We receive that deliverance person by person, heart by heart. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. Maybe you were like me, a religious person, a church-going person. But I was not delivered from that kingdom. Oh, friend, you can be. You can be born again. You can be transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that's what this new kingdom is all about. Oh, and your Father will help you and He'll take care of you and He'll watch over you. He's a good Father. But see, that invitation to be in His family is there, but you must receive it. If you don't, life is not going to work for you. When you die, then you don't have another chance to receive that. And you live eternally separated from God forever. That's what the Bible clearly preaches. And we can't pray you out of that place. We can say at your funeral, may your soul rest in peace, but you will not be at peace. The Bible says in that place there is no peace. The worm dies not. But friend, today you can realize that's not my destiny. That's not where I choose to go. I don't want to live another life in that other kingdom. I want to be in the family of God. I want to be under the care of God. Maybe you are a believer. You're born again. But you really, what we saw in that verse, man, there really is very little about your life that pleases the Lord. You've turned your back on God. You're living another life, a life that is full of your sin and your rebellion. Oh, but friend, the good news is God allows you to come home. He'll restore you. He'll cleanse you. He'll help you. You can come home to Him today because He loves you. Say yes to Him today. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not in the family of God, but I want to. Pastor, I am a child of God, but I'm not living in my Father's house. I'm so far away from Him in my relationship, and I need to come home. Wherever you are right now, you are one prayer away from the care of a father, from the love of another kingdom. And I'd like to pray that prayer with you. And if you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray that prayer. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high. Wave it at me and say, that's me. I want to be in the family of God. Over here, thank you. God bless you. Who else? Coming home to Jesus. Thank you. Over there. Who else? Today is your day. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Wonderful. Making decisions. Anyone else before we pray? Oh, friend, don't let this day be a day that you regret. Let this day be a day that you rejoice. And you say, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Everyone that lifted up your hand, would you grab whatever you brought with you to church and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to radically change your life. He's so good. He's so wonderful. You lifted up your hand, or maybe you're thinking now, I should have lifted up my hand. I should have lifted up my hand. Just come. God loves you so much. Thank you so much for coming. Bless you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you so much. Now, the Bible that I have, it's mine, all right? But if I wanted you to have it, somebody else, come. Awesome. If I wanted you to have that, right, you would reach out and receive it. So that's how we receive a gift. We can't pay for it, but we receive it. And so I'd ask you today, we're going to receive the wonderful gift of God's love, His mercy, by faith. And so just lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because that's where he is, and he's going to give you these wonderful gifts today. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. Jesus died for me. He was raised from the dead. I put my faith in him. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn my back on wrong things, on sin. I follow you now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You love me. I'm in your family. I belong to you. I'm in a new kingdom. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a great day has happened.